Welcome to SCOTUScast, a project of the Federalist Society for Law and Public Policy Studies. Our contributors join us from around the country to bring you expert commentary on U.S. Supreme Court cases as they are argued and decisions are issued. The Federalist Society takes no position on particular legal or public policy issues. All expressions of opinion are those of the speaker.
Thank you for joining us for this post-argument episode of SCOTUScast, In Rem Jurisdiction and Sovereign Immunity Edition. I'm your host, Bridget Flaherty. On March 21, 2018, the Supreme Court heard argument in Upper Skagit Indian Tribe v. Lundgren, a case that considers whether a state court's exercise of in rem jurisdiction can be blocked by a tribal assertion of sovereign immunity. The Lundgren family owns land in Skagit County, Washington. A barbed wire fence with a gate runs across the southern portion of an adjacent lot, near, but not up against, the edge of the Lundgren's lot. Since 1947, however, the Lundgrens have treated that fence as the actual boundary line of their property, maintaining both the fence and the property along the southern side of the fence. In 2013, the Upper Skagit Indian Tribe bought the adjacent lot from the previous owner, though the tribe only became aware of the fence when surveying the property following its purchase. In 2014, the tribe notified the Lundgrens that the fence did not actually represent the boundary line between the two lots, and asserted ownership rights to the entire property, including any lying beyond the fence. In 2015, the Lundgrens filed an action in state court to quiet title to the disputed strip of property along the fence, arguing that they had acquired title by adverse possession or mutual recognition and acquiescence well before the tribe made its purchase. The tribe countered by asserting that its sovereign immunity required dismissal of the Lundgren's action for lack of subject matter jurisdiction. The trial court ultimately rejected the tribe's argument and ruled in favor of the Lundgrens. Although the tribe had refused joinder to the lawsuit, the court reasoned ownership of the land could be determined without the tribe's participation because the court was proceeding in rem and asserting jurisdiction solely over the property, not the landowner. On direct review, a divided Supreme Court of Washington agreed and affirmed the lower court's judgment. The United States Supreme Court, however, granted the tribe's subsequent petition for certiorari to address whether a court's exercise of in rem jurisdiction overcomes the jurisdictional bar of tribal sovereign immunity when the tribe has not waived immunity and Congress has not unequivocally abrogated it. And now, to discuss the case, we have Tom Getty, principal in Morgan Lewis Consulting, and of counsel to Morgan Lewis & Boykus.
At issue is whether the sovereign immunity of a federally recognized Indian tribe bars a state court's exercise of in rem jurisdiction in a quiet title action involving off-reservation land in which the tribe claims a property interest. The Washington Supreme Court answered that question in the negative in February 2017, addressing a dispute over a strip of land on the boundary of property purchased by the Upper Skagit Indian tribe. The tribe had asserted that its sovereign immunity required dismissal of an in rem adverse possession action to quiet title to the strip of property. The Lundgrens owned land immediately south of the disputed property, but a fence sits inside what is now arguably the tribe's side. The land between the fence and the southern boundary of the tribe's lot is the land at issue in this case. Since 1947, the Lundgren family harvested timber, cleared brush, and treated the disputed property on the southern side of the fence as their own. When the tribe purchased their land, the tribe surveyors alerted the tribe to the fence, and the tribe notified the Lundgrens, who in turn sued in state court to quiet title. The tribe sought certiorari claiming its sovereign immunity bars in rem actions such as this, and that the Washington Supreme Court erred in concluding that the U.S. Supreme Court's 1992 decision in County of Yakima versus Confederated Tribes and Bands of Yakima Indian Nation supported the proposition the courts may exercise in rem jurisdiction over property owned by a federally recognized tribe, despite its general sovereign immunity from suit. Amici tribal groups such as the National Congress of American Indians and various other Amici tribes also argued that the congressional policy of restoring a tribal land base counsels against an exception to sovereign immunity for tribal land, noting tribes have suffered losses of land through illegal occupation and that the disputed land was part of the Upper Skagit's own history of land loss. The Lundgrens briefed the matter on the premise that a state has in rem jurisdiction over actions involving land within its sovereign territory, and that the state of Washington, not the tribe, is the sovereign with jurisdiction over the disputed land. The parties accepted that the land was off the reservation and not in trust. In short, the tribes essentially argued that the Washington courts were placing an unwarranted exception on the rule of tribal sovereign immunity. And on the other hand, the Lundgrens argued that the extension of sovereign immunity on land not within the sovereign territory of the tribe would be an expansion of sovereign immunity. At oral argument, however, the tribes' council faced significant pushback from multiple justices who peppered the council with, "but isn't it true" type questions, generally reflecting an understanding that sovereign immunity would not extend to land owned by one sovereign in the territory of another. Justice Ginsburg asks, quote, "so you're claiming a kind of super sovereign immunity for the tribe that no one else gets," end quote. Justice Kagan got to the heart of the dispute when she asked the tribes council that this is about, quote, "deviations from the general law of sovereign immunity." What the Lundgrens are saying here is that this is not part of the general law of sovereign immunity. And this goes back to Justice Ginsburg's question that sovereign immunity, typically by common law and historically, includes this exception for immovable property, end quote. The distinction about whether the in rem action is an exception or deviation from the general law of sovereign immunity became central to the oral argument. The U.S. Assistant Solicitor General, sharing some of the tribe's time, argued the same point made by the tribe, that any exception to the rule of sovereign immunity must come from the political branches, in this case from Congress. Justice Kagan fired back at the SG, quote, "but I thought we explained in Kiowa that foreign sovereign immunity actually started as a judicial doctrine. It was only later that it was taken over by the political branches," end quote. When pressed by Justice Gorsuch for the best authority for the proposition that the baseline rule of common law was total immunity, including in rem actions, the SG relied on the Federalist Papers and ended up in a back and forth with the Chief Justice on whether the disputing landowner should take actions on the land to force a suit from the other side. So the arguments from the tribe and the U.S. resulted in what appeared to be a majority of justices quite dubious about the tribe's position on the baseline of tribal sovereign immunity and a lack of any exception for in rem actions. However, what happened next was interesting. When counsel for the Lundgrens stepped up, he was immediately held to account for a change in argument. The Lundgrens originally relied upon the County of Yakima case for the proposition that the state had jurisdiction in an in rem action involving the tribe. But in its brief, they relied instead upon the common law exception for actions involving immovable property. When pressed by Justice Gorsuch on the County of Yakima argument and the reliance of the Washington Supreme Court on Yakima, counsel for the Lundgrens acknowledged the problem and conceded, quote, "Yakima was a statutory case. Its holding is not controlling here," end quote. Justice Gorsuch then put it to counsel, quote, "in that case, why isn't it enough for the day for this court to resolve a split of authority over whether Yakima controls in cases like this and return it to the Washington Supreme Court where you can present all these wonderful arguments you've raised here for the first time," end quote. Given the concession by the Lundgren's counsel and what appears to be a majority of justices unconvinced that they can affirm the Washington Supreme Court, even if they lean in favor of the rule the Lundgren's now want, the likely result will be a remand to Washington. We will await the opinion.
Thank you for listening to this episode of SCOTUSCast. SCOTUSCast is a project of the Federalist Society, a not-for-profit educational organization of conservative and libertarian law students, law professors, and lawyers, founded upon the principles that the state exists to preserve freedom, that the separation of governmental powers is central to our Constitution, and that it is emphatically the province and duty of the judiciary to say what the law is, not what it should be. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast series, including SCOTUSCast and Practice Group Podcasts, on iTunes or Google Play. For an archive of past podcasts, as well as audio and video of past Federalist Society events, please visit our website at fedsoc.org/multimedia. That's fedsoc.org/multimedia.
This has been a FedSoc audio production.